The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. This week's Parsha is Parshas Maaseh. Usually Mates and Maaseh come together. The initial is a leap year, Maaseh is separate, the last Parsha in Sefer Bamidbar. One of the subjects dwelt with in this Parsha is in Bamidbar Lamed Hei, Posuk Tes, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, Daber el bnei Yisrael v'amarta lehem, ki atem ovrim es ha'yarden arca kanaan. Speak to the children of Israel and tell them that you are now crossing the Jordan into Canaan, into Eretz Yisrael. Yikrisem lochem orim orim miklot tiyeru lochem. And there you shall prepare for yourselves cities of refuge. V'noshom ha-retzeach ma'ake nefesh bishkogo. And the retzeach, a murderer that murders erroneously, Mishkogo shall flee there. Voyolachem ha'orim lemiklot migael, and these cities will be a city of refuge from the Redeemer, that is, the immediate family of the Nirtzach, of the one who was murdered. V'leyamus ha'retzeach, and this will be protection for the murderer, that the Redeemer will not kill him ad omdo lifnei ha'ed al ha'mishpat, until he's brought to justice, he's brought to the Sanhedrin, to the Bezdin, where his fate will be determined. V'orim asher titenu sheish orim mikla tiyenu lachem. You shall make six of these cities. Eishlosh orim titnu meiva leyadin, veishlosh orim titnu beres kenan, orim miklatieno. Three on this side of the Jordan, and three on the other side in Eretz Yisrael. Livnei Yisrael v'lageva leteisha besechem tieno sheish orim eila lamiklat, lanushama kol maki nefesh bishkogo. And they will be for the above mentioned purpose. So here we have the mitzvah of the orim miklat, the cities of refuge, and also how in the halacha of the retzeach bishkogo, someone who kills without purpose, without intent. And then the Torah tells us, v'im b'lchivaze yikolav yamos retzeachu, moshu masa retzeach. The Torah now starts to tell us about the person who kills with intent. If he kills with a weapon of steel, or with a stone, then vayomos retzeach, retzeach umeishu masa retzeach. This is a murderer with intention, and therefore he must be put to death. Goel hadam hu yomis esa retzeach, b'fi goel bay hu yomisenu, and the Redeemer of the family should kill him, which will be explained during the course of the shiur. And the Torah continues with that. So now the Torah introduced a second mishpat, not the one who murders without intent, but the one who murders intentionally. Then the Torah tells us what happens though if he did not have intent. This is what is going back to the first case. Then the Eidah, this is the Sanhedrin, the Bezdin, must judge between the one who murdered and the Goel Adam, the Redeemer of the family. Alamishpotim Eilo. And if it's proven that he did not, if it cannot be proven that he killed intentionally, but that he killed without intention, then the Sanhedrin has to save the murderer. Yeshiva Yisa Eidoi Al Ir Miklote Asher Noshoma, and take him to the city of refuge. Do not let the Redeemer kill him. And he shall dwell there until the Kohen Gadol dies. Asher Moshach Eisei B'Shem HaKodesh. V'im Yotze Yetze Aratzeach. And if this Ratzeach will go out of the city, and the Goel Hadam will find him, and the Goel Hadam kills him, then we cannot punish the Goel Hadam, because he has to dwell in the city of refuge until the death of the Kohen Gadol. And then after that, he's free to go out, and the Goel Hadam cannot do anything to him. A little later, well, incidentally, why does he have to stay there until the Kohen Gadol dies? So Rashi explains, he gives two reasons. Shehu ba lahashrei shechina b'Yisrael, la'arich yameihem, v'ratzeach ba lasalik es hashechina b'Yisrael. The Kohen Gadol is there because of the Mishkan, the Mikdash, which represents the Shechinas Hashem, which brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu to dwell with Yisrael. And the Ratzeach is just the opposite. When there's a loss of innocent blood, this drives out the Shechina from Yisrael. So therefore, he should not be in the presence of Yisrael when the Kohen Gadol is there. He has to stay in the Ori Miklot. Another explanation, the Kohen Gadol should have been mispalal, he should have prayed to Hashem that such a thing would not happen in Yisrael as long as he reigns, the Kohen Gadol. What happens if the murderer, with intention, wants to buy his life back? He says, look, let's settle this with money. I'll give a huge sum of money to the family. And that, the Torah says, Leisikhu kefa lenefesh retzeach asher hu rosh olamos. Not allowed to take a ransom to redeem the retzeach who is judged to die. Ki meishu mos, but he must die. What happens if the one who killed without intention wants to offer a large sum of money to the family or to, for any purpose in order that he should not have to go into the city of refuge? We're not allowed under any circumstances to accept this, but he must stay in the city of refuge until the Kohen dies. Ve'leisachanifu es ha'oretz asher atem bo, ki adom hu yachnif es ha'oretz. The words leisachanifu in Posuk Lamed Gimel, Rashi brings the targum leitashiu, ki targumai ve'leisachayevun. You shall not let the land become full of resha, become full of wickedness and of guilt. Because the spilling of innocent blood, not the spilling of guilty blood, the spilling of innocent blood brings guilt and wickedness to the land. And the oretz, the land, cannot cleanse itself from the blood that was spilled, ki'im b'dam sheifchei, but only through the spilling of the blood of the guilty. And therefore you have to be very, very careful to see under no circumstances that there is the loss of innocent blood in our land. And if there is, it will only become a hooper. The land is only cleansed with the spilling of his blood. But why must you be so careful? Asher ani sheichin b'seicha, because I dwell amongst you. And as mentioned before, this will be masalikes hashchina. This will drive out the shchina. Ki ani Hashem sheichin b'seich b'nei Yisrael, because I am the Lord God who dwells amongst the b'nei Yisrael. So we learned in this parsha, we learn four phases, four dinim. First of all, about the Ritzeach Shoharag Bameizid, the Ritzeach that kills with intention. Secondly, Ritzeach Shoharag Beshegek, the murderer who kills without intention. Thirdly, the mitzvah of Orim Miklot, that we have a mitzvah where we have to set aside cities of refuge. These cities of refuge actually serve two purposes. It serves as a refuge for the one who murdered without intent, as a protection, but also served as a punishment to that person. In other words, he was forced to go there. He had to leave where he lived, but at the same time, it was his protection from the Gael Adam. Because as long as he was there, the Gael Adam, not only did they physically, the cities were physically guarded, but the Gael Adam was not allowed to touch him. And the fourth mitzvah is the halach of the Gael Adam, the close member of the family that wants to redeem the blood. Let's go into these mitzvahs this evening. The Rambam brings there a cloud. In general, in Hilchis Ritzeach Ushmiras HaNefesh, excuse me, I have the wrong one. Hilchis Ritzeach Ushmiras HaNefesh is found in the Sefer Nezikin of the Rambam. He brings in general in Perek Aleph Halacha Daled, Umuzorim Bezdin Shleilika Kefe Min Aretzeach. The Bezdin is commanded not to accept any pigeon, any redemption, or any ransom on behalf of the Retzeach. Family wants to come and redeem him, or whoever. Vafilan Nasan Kol Momen Sheba Elon. And even if he's prepared to give all of the money in the world, or the family is, Vafila Rotzo Gael Adam LePetre, the Gael Adam was with the close kin of the Nirzach, of the one who was killed, and even if they will agree, let him go. Let him go free, and let him give a huge sum to the family, based at Stoker, whatever. He can give it to a shul, he can give it to the yeshiva, he can give it to an old age home. Now, Sheinafshi Shelzeh Hanera Kinyan Gael Adam. And simple. You know, a lot of times we'll see in the paper, there's a case of murder, which is very, very common in the world today. And the family of the victim will say, we forgive him. We forgive the murderer. It's a chutzpah. It's a tremendous arrogance and azus. As the Rambam says, Sheinafshus zeh nera kinyan gael adam. It was their life. They own him. Something that's yours, you can forgive. But it's like he kills Reuben, and Shimon says, I forgive the murderer. But if anybody's going to forgive, Reuben's going to have to forgive. And Reuben's already buried. Besides being a stupidity, it's a chutzpah. The nefesh doesn't belong to them that they can negotiate with it and they can forgive it. Elakinyan HaKadosh Baruch Hu belongs to Hashem. If anybody's going to forgive, it's going to have to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu and only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Leisich HaKeifa LeNefesh Retzeach. I will not tolerate any ransom for the murderer. But I want the blood of the murderer. Like the Torah said, the land will be cleansed only through the spilling of the guilty blood. Ve'ein lecha dover shehekpidu Torah olov kishvichas domim. We do not find anything in the Torah where the Torah was so makbid, so demanding, so intolerant of, as the spilling of innocent blood. Shneimar, as it states, and that's what we just read, Leisach Nifas Oretz, that, and he quotes our posuk, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that if you will allow, if you will become tolerant of murder, and you will let the murderer go, then through the presence of guilty blood in the land, and through the fact that the innocent blood was not revenged, then this will cause a resha and a tumah, a wickedness and impurity in the land. And I will not be able to dwell amongst you. This will be mesalek the shechina. This will drive me out. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I cannot dwell amongst those where guilt, where innocent blood has been shed. And the only kapora, the only atonement, he says, will be the spilling of the murderer's blood. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. And that's why Rashi brought that by the one who kills b'shegeg, without intention, he has to stay in the Orim Miklot until the Kohen Gadol dies, because the murderer and the Kohen Gadol are exactly an antithesis to each other. Kohen Gadol was there in the Migdosh, in the Mishkan, to bring the Shekhinah in, and the murderer is there to drive the Shekhinah out. Ki hadam hu yachni veso oretz. That's what the Rambam brings. Now, in particular, Ritzeach b'meisit, someone who kills with intent. In Perek Aleph Halacha Hey, the Rambam says, Ritzeach shaharag bezodin, person who kills maliciously, with intent. Ein mimisin isay edim, v'lei reim isay. We mentioned that the Torah is very, very demanding that this person must be put to death. But you don't just kill him. Even the witnesses cannot kill him. Or those who happen to be around. No. The mob can't kill him. Atshiyom le bezdin. You have to bring him to the bezdin. V'yadinuhu lemiso. And there he has to be judged properly. This is what is known in the world as due process. There has to be due process. He has to be judged properly. And it's not easy to get a conviction against him. It's just like the Torah was very demanding that the guilty one must be put to death, the Torah also is very demanding that we have to make sure he's the guilty one. So there was a difficult process, but it could be done. There has to be the judgment. And then, after the judgment, then he, if he's found guilty, he's put to death. As it states, you cannot kill him until he comes to the courts. The Rambam says this is not only by the murderer, this is by all punishments of the Torah that have the carry capital punishment or even corporal punishment. There cannot be these punishments until the due process. Shein memisin I say atchig madinon bebezdin. Now, so that's the first clause. For any of these punishments, there must be due process, and the due process is a very difficult process, a very thorough process, but it can be done. And when he is found guilty, then the punishment will take place. Incidentally, those of you who are interested, that we find that from one hand the Torah was a Torah of rachamim, compassion and shalom, and peace, and here we're seeing that the Torah is taking a very, very strong hand, will not forgive the person. Also, incidentally, we're speaking that he's not forgiven until his blood is spilled. But after that, if he does tshuva, he is forgiven. The If this is a contradiction, you can refer to the shiur that we gave on Shavuos, because there we went into that length. Now, the Rambam says there's an exception to that rule, where you can kill without due process. Where is that? When do we say that you need the procedures of the courts? That's when he already did the Aveira. He already killed. Then we can't have a lynching mob. He has to be brought to the courts. But what happens if you come along and you see he's in the process of killing someone? He's running after his chavera to kill him. Even if the raidev was a cotton, was a minor. And a minor is not, a minor cannot be put to death by the courts. But you see, let's say he's got a gun, it's loaded, and he's running after another person who wants to shoot him. All of Israel is obligated to save the neardov, to save the victim. And if necessary, if the only way you can save the victim is by taking the life of the pursuer, then you must do so. So this is a case where one can kill without due process. Again, the Rambam says, when must you have the due process, the mishpot? That's where he already did the Aveira. Even though if we know for sure he did it, we witnessed it, now we cannot do anything. We have to bring him to court. That's what we can do. We can help the police arrest him, hold him, put him in a holding cell, and until his day in court comes. But if he's in the process of killing someone, to prevent him, there not only we're allowed, we're obligated. And we're obligated to kill the raidev. This is known as a din raidev. We're obligated to kill the raidev if that's the only way we can save the neared of the victim. And even if the raidev, if the pursuer is a caught in the minor. Then the Rambam says, first though, you must try to save the victim without taking the life of the raidev. You try just to stop him, or talk him out of it, or physically wound him. If that doesn't help, then you're allowed to kill him. And afzu mitzvah leisase shalei lochus al nefesh areide. First of all, he brings it's a mitzvah essay, and also a negative commandment. You must not have rachmonus. We can't say, well, how can I kill this person? What will I gain? No. You cannot have rachmonis on him, and you must kill him in order to save the victim. Then the Rambam brings an interesting din. He brings in the ficha cheru chachomim shau ubra shimakshe leled mutalachtech hauber b'me'eho. The Rambam says the chachomim therefore paskind, they deemed that if a woman is giving birth and she's having a difficult time giving the birth, and the doctors have said it's come to the point where the baby will not come out, and the baby is threatening the life of the mother, then the halachi is that you kill the uber, the fetus, ben besam, ben beyad, whichever manner that you can, because the uber is like a raidev. He's pursuing the mother, he's threatening the mother's life, and therefore you're allowed to, in order to save the mother's life, you're allowed to kill the fetus. But then the Rambam adds, imisha heitze reishai. But that's before it has come out of the womb. But once it brings its head into the open air, then we're not allowed to anymore. He said, because that was tibu shel olam. He brings an explanation. It's not so easy to understand why, but he says, because that's already the nature of the world. Now the Rambam adds a second din. This is often the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin. What happens if someone is pursuing a woman and he wants to be ma'anisher, he wants to rape her, and it's a woman which is known as an erva, which means she's a married woman or she's a close relative to him, where the Torah levies a very severe penalty. Here also, he says, is the exception. You are obligated to do everything possible to save the woman. And even if necessary, to kill the raider, to kill the pursuer. Now, what is interesting, though, is these two are the only exceptions. If someone is pursuing an Aveiro, for example, we see someone is going to be Mechalel Shabbos to desecrate the Shabbos, or someone is going to serve Aveiros Zorah to idolatry. Even though Shabbos and Aveiros Zorah and idolatry, Ikrei Adas, they're from the major principles of the Torah. The fact is, on Aveiros Zorah, idolatry, it states that whoever serves idolatry, he's kefir b'cholatera kula, he has denied the entire Torah. So what happens if you see someone is running to the idol to bring a sacrifice to it, to bow down to it? We have to try to stop him. That's for sure. That's la frushe misura. We have to try to stop him. And even we have to talk him out of it, or even physically stop him. But what happens if the only way you can stop him is by killing him? They were not allowed to. Ein memisen, I say. Not allowed to. Achiyaseh, you have to wait till he does it. If there's nothing further you can do except kill him, you're not allowed to, and you have to wait till he does it. Then yivyu lebezdin. Then you bring him to Bezdin for the mishpat, for the judgment. See, and they will judge him. So these are the only two exceptions, where one is pursuing another person to kill him, or where one is pursuing an eshesish, a married woman, or an erva, a close relative, to be ma'anis, to rape her. The Rambam then continues, that there are a number of mitzvahs here involved. And if someone does not do this, then he transgresses these mitzvahs, where it states, Leisamer al damer echo, you shall not stand idly by to see the blood of the innocent being spilled. Inclusive in this, the Rambam says, this would be the same thing that wherever you know that your friend is in danger, and you have to do everything possible to avert that danger. Afal pi shein leikin alavin elu, what happens if a person did not avert the danger that he could? He did not save his brother from the danger in the above manners. We cannot punish that person, because it's ain't by Maisa, he didn't actually do an act. It was an inaction. But nevertheless, chamurim heim. These are from the most severest mitzvahs. Shikolam ha'aben nevashachas mi'yisrael kilu ibad kol leilam kulei. Whoever causes the loss of one innocent life in Israel is as if he causes the loss of the whole world. V'cholam ha'kaim nevashachas mi'yisrael kilu kaim kol leilam kulei. And whoever saves an innocent life is as if he saves the entire world. So from here we see also an insight into what murder is. That a person who murders an innocent man, it's as if he destroyed the whole nation because of what was just said. In Perek Beis, Halacha Vov and Zayin, the Rambam brings what constitutes murder. What happens if you murder, Reuben murders a woman, not a man? Or what happens if Reuben murders a little child, 1 day old, 2 days old, and not a full-grown man? Perhaps we should be more lenient because he didn't murder an adult. There is no difference if you murder, if a person murders a full-grown, mature adult, or a child who's in his first day, as long as he's born. There is no difference if the victim is a male or a female. If it was with intent, due process, he's guilty, and he's liable for the capital punishment. If he killed erroneously, then he's liable to, he's accountable to go to the Ori Mikla, to the city of refuge. What happens if you kill a sick person? You might say, since he's sick anyhow, he's going to die anyhow. There is no difference if the victim is a strong, healthy man, or if he is so sick, he's in the hospital, spending his last days there or his last hours. There's no difference. Even if the doctors have given up hope over him, and they said there's nothing, it's terminal, there's nothing more we can do, it's just a matter of time. Someone kills him, that's a murderer. Because the Gemara says, Chai Yisho is also a Chai. Life is not, we cannot measure life by quantity. Many people are born and they die naturally at 50 or 60 or 70. Some live to 100, 120. Some will die even at a younger age. Some die when they're still children, heaven forbid. But nevertheless, it's still life. We cannot quantify it. If he's living, then it's a chai. And someone who takes that life away is a murderer in the full degree, in the full sense. There's one exception to this, which is a technical exception. And that's not by someone who's sick. So that I'm not going to go into. Yes. Now, there are times when a person can murder and not be liable for the death penalty, even though he murdered with intent and with malice. When is this? The Rambam brings in Perek Sheni Halacha Beis. Well, first he says in Halacha Aleph, Kol Ha'erech Aveira B'Yodei, if he kills a person with his hands, that means with his own action, then he's a murderer. But what happens? Secher Horeg La'Reges Chaverei. He hires an assassin to kill someone. Like the mafia, he hires a hitman. Now, they can say, what did we do? We didn't do anything. He's the one who killed. O Shisholach Avodo V'Horgua. Or he sends his servant to go kill so-and-so. Or he ties someone up and he leaves them out in the forest where there are lions. The lions come and eat him. You can say, what did I do? I didn't kill him, I just tied him up. The Rambam says, according to the Gemara, all of these are murderers. Brings here also, but this is not relevant to a punishment, but this is to the person who takes his own life. He says, all of these are murderers. But there's no doubt that they carry the Aveira of murder. And Shemayim will deal with them. But, ain't ban Mises Bezdin. The courts, our courts, have no authority in such cases to deal with. We can only punish. What's important to know is that there is the onish, which is moser lebezdin, the punishment that we are obligated to deal out. And then there are other punishments that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, it's not for you, I will deal with it. So these are them. In those cases, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you cannot deal with it, since he did not actually kill with his own hands. I will deal with it. But they're murderers. Now, if that's the case, we have here a loophole for criminals. The mafia wants to bump someone off, so they keep their hands clean. They just hire an assassin. Or they do something else. They'll take him and tie him up and leave him in the woods in the middle of nowhere, and he'll starve. Rambam says as follows. Kol eilo ratzchonim she'enen mechuyavim mishes bezdin, all of these above, which we mentioned, im rotz melech Yisrael lohorge medina malchus v'takanus ha'ilam ha'rishus biyodai. Extraordinary powers and responsibilities were given to the melech, to the king. He has the obligation to see that murderers, blood is not shed, innocent blood is not shed in Israel. In the days of the Melech HaMashiach, it will be his responsibility to see that innocent blood is not shed in the entire world. And innocent blood is being shed when you have these type of people around. Therefore, if he sees that this is happening, he has extraordinary powers and extraordinary responsibilities to use them. He's allowed to dish out to them the capital punishment. Harishus biyodei. V'chein imro bezdin lohogem behiroh shoh. Ima yisa ashoh tzrich elakach. Yesh lam rishus kefi mashi yiru. And the same thing with the courts. The great courts, they could do the same thing. If they see that the hour requires it, like today, where crime and killing and innocent blood is lost is rampant, then they have the right to do something. And they could decide that even though this person, according to the technicality of the halacha, we cannot kill him, we are going to. This is very important. This is something that our society lacks. Now, we go further. What would happen if the king saw fit not to kill these people? And the Bezdin saw fit, it says it's not rampant, therefore we will not kill. It's not a case where the organized criminals, the mafia or whatnot is going on. So it's not rampant. And therefore we're not going to kill them. Nevertheless, nevertheless, we cannot let this person go scot-free. And the Bezdin is obligated to beat this person to an inch of his life. And to jail him for many, many years. And to jail him with hardship. And to give him all types of harsh punishments, just short of death. They've decided that since according to the law of the Torah, he is not guilty of the death penalty, and the conditions are not there where we should give him the death penalty, they are still obligated to beat him and to persecute him, and to jail him to an inch of his life. Why? In order to scare the living daylights out of all of other such people. In order others should say, look, I have a way to get rid of this person who I hate, and the courts can't do anything to me, like so-and-so did. So we see that you need strong government. Society demands law and order. And it's the government's responsibility to maintain the law and order, one way or the other. In Perek Dalet, Halacha Ches and Tes. The Rambam brings also with other technicalities. What would happen? A Heirig Nefoshis Velo Yashom Eidim Reine Seika Achas Elaro Echod Achara Echod Osharag Bivne Eidim Bele Hasra Oshahuksha Eidim Bebedikas Velo Huksha Bechakiras. Another case of a technical loophole. Reuven killed Shimon in cold blood, but the two witnesses that are required that came to testify in Beis Din, they were not in view of each other. One saw from one window and another saw from another window. And this is a question in the Gemara if this helps. And the Rambam says these are not kosher edim in such a case. So on a technicality, we cannot give him the death penalty. Or, for example, there were witnesses that Reuven killed Shimon with intent and maliciousness, but he wasn't given the proper warning. The halacha of Asra, that before we can give out a punishment, the person has to be warned, and he has to know exactly what the punishment will be. There was no Hasra. Or, for example, in the major conditions of the crime, the edim, the witnesses, agreed upon the major circumstances of the crime. The witnesses agreed upon. But in some of the minor circumstances, there was a disagreement. Now that's really a chumrah. That's a severe halacha in order to favor the criminal, the so-called criminal, the alleged criminal. Where the edim have to agree not only on the major circumstances of the crime, but even on the minor circumstances. So that's another technicality where we have to let him off. But in reality, we are convinced, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he is a murderer, because they have all agreed on the major circumstances, but we cannot kill him. What do we do? The Rambam says, "Kol le'iratz chonim, konsin eisei l'kipa." Again, we leave him off the death penalty, but he's still a murderer. We can't let him go free. We lock him up. U'machil aneisen lechem tzar u'mayim lachatz, at sheyitzre me'en v'ahakach, machil aneisei so'orim at shedibok ha'kresem mikever acheli. We lock him up, and we feed him hard bread and water. And then they'll feed him other things which will make him sick. They'll feed him barley which will make him sick, and eventually he'll die from a sickness. So Torah is telling us, when you know, it has to be where you know it though, but where they know that he's a murderer and he killed an innocent person, that's not the place for Rachmonus. The place for Rachmonus is before he pulled the trigger. That's the place for Rachmonus. But someone once who pulls the trigger, it's the Bezdin's responsibility to see that he'll never do that again. And others won't do it either. Now, the Rambam says as follows. Ein eisin dovezel eshar mechuive mises Bezdin. But this you're not allowed to do to others who are accountable for the death penalty. For example, like we mentioned, someone who serves idolatry or other such things. And there's a technicality in which we cannot give him the death penalty. So maybe we'll do the following. No. Aval im nishchai misa memisa neisev, imenachai misa patron neisev. There we have to go with the letter of the law. If he's guilty, then he gets punished. If he's not guilty, you let him go free. Because even though there are Avedis Chamurim Mishvichas Domim, because even though there are Avedis in the Torah that are more severe than the spilling of blood, Ein Ben Ashchosos Yishuvei Shul Olam Kishvichas Domim. But there is nothing that ruins society as much as rampant murder. Even Avedis Zora, idolatry, and certainly Arayis, the Rambam says, that's incest and adultery, or Chilul Shabbos, or the desecration of Shabbos, is not like the spilling of blood, of innocent blood. Because those Avedas are between men and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the spilling of innocent blood, that's an aveira between man and his fellow man. And that destroys society. And whoever has this aveira in his hands, he says he's a Rosh HaGomor. He's a total wicked person. And all the mitzvahs that he did all of his days will not be sufficient to be machaper, to atone for this aveira, speaking where he didn't do tshuva. And will not save him from the din shemayim. And he brings, he's Meirich, and he brings from Achav. Achav did all kind of averas. But there was that avera of murder that he was not cleansed from. So the Rambam is saying here, a society cannot tolerate murder. Full stop. Full stop. There's no ifs and buts. A society cannot tolerate murder. This is an indictment on Western society, where blood is spilled all of the time, either in this type of crime or that type of crime, or be it so-called terrorism, wars. You take Islam, the terrorism, or whatever. You see what an indictment this is on society, where he says society does not tolerate the spilling of innocent blood. Full stop. And it's the obligation of the law to see that it doesn't happen. If the law cannot take care of it, then it's obligation of the courts to go beyond the law. And if the courts do not take care of it, then it's the obligation of the king to go beyond the law. Right? To see that there is no spilling of blood in society. This is a great limud, something that we have to learn from. You get all of these people that say, oh, have rehabilitation. See, let's rehabilitate the murderer. There was a Rabbi Victor Miller used to say, when crime was rampant in New York, the best rehabilitation for a murderer is an electric chair. Let's get him back into society. He said he's destructive for society. Now, this is the Ratzeach B'Mezid. What about the murder without intent? In Perakei, Halacha Aleph and Beis, Kalaherik Bishkoga, whoever kills without intent, erroneously, Golem Imedina Shoharag Bay Leiri Miklot, he goes into Golus. He goes into exile to the city of refuge. And it's a mitzvah essay. This is a positive commandment. As it states, he shall stay in the city of refuge until the Kohen Gadol dies. And, as we learnt in the Posuk, the Bezdin is commanded, they're not allowed to take a kefir, a ransom, even from this type of person. But he has to live there and stay there until the Kohen Gadol dies. Not everyone, though, who killed without intent, qualified to go to the Ori Miklat, to the city of refuge. For example, the Rambam brings in Halacha Beis, only if through some type of accident Reuven killed Shimon, only if Shimon dies immediately, then is Reuven considered the Heirig B'Shegeg who qualifies for these halachas, the Ori Miklat, the city of refuge. What happens though that if he didn't die immediately, but he laid in the hospital for a while and then he died? Then not. Because we say it could be that the complications, other complications killed him. But it was not Reuven. Maybe he caught pneumonia he was weak, but maybe he caught pneumonia or something else. Therefore, the Gemara is very exact on just who goes to the Ori Miklat. And it wasn't easy to qualify for that. Further on this point, in Perek Vov, Halacha Aleph, Beis Gimel and Dalet, the Rambam says as follows: Shleisha Heim Haregim Belei Kavona. There are three categories of he who kills without intent. Three categories. The first is Yesh Heig Bishkoga, Aloma Gemura. Person kills accidentally, he kills erroneously, without intent, and it was a total aloma. He did something which he didn't occur to him at all that it would cause, heaven forbid, someone's death. That's, he says, that's what it states in the Torah, Shalei Tzodo. Vidino, that's the one that goes to the Ori Miklot. The second category is Yesh Horig Viti Ashkoga Korav Lainus. What happens if someone killed another person, but it was such an accident that was almost totally unavoidable? And it was a pella. Shenemotzi bereva ma'urus. It was something that very seldom happens that way. Then he's potter from golus. He doesn't have to go to golus, and the Goel Adam is not allowed to touch him. The Redeemer is not allowed to touch him. And if the Redeemer does touch him, then the Redeemer gets death. If he kills him, he gets death. So that's to the left. Now there's to the right. Yesh Herig Bishkoga, Vitiashkoga Kreva Lezodin, Behushia Bedova Kame Pshia. What happens if someone kills? And it was through recklessness. Through recklessness. Oshohoya Le Lizor and Le Nizor. And it was avoidable. It was very avoidable. Then he also doesn't go to the Ori Miklat. Why? Because he doesn't qualify for the Ori Miklat, because we said the Ori Miklat was both a punishment for him, but also a type of salvation for him, because it protected him from the Goel Hadam. And here, Ein Galus Mechaperes Lei. Here, this Ori Miklat cannot be Mechaper for him. Therefore, if the Goel Hadam finds him anywhere and kills him, we cannot do anything to that Goel Hadam. So we have three categories. We have the one category where he killed, but it was such an accident that it was totally unavoidable. Things like that very seldom happen. In that case, he's not considered the Ritzeach B'Shegeg. And in that case, he's not chayv, he's not guilty of, and he would not have to go to the city of refuge. He can stay home, and the Goel Adam and the Redeemer has no permission to touch him. There's another case where it was recklessness. A guy drives on the road, the speed limit is 100, and he's doing 150. Heaven forbid. Or he just had a number of drinks and he goes on the road. Now this is recklessness. There he doesn't go to the Ori Miklat, because the Aveira was too severe. The city of refuge will not help him. And there the Goel Hadam, the Redeemer, if the Redeemer takes revenge from him, it doesn't say it's a mitzvah but in that case, but if the Redeemer does take revenge from him, even if he's in the Ori Miklat, we cannot do anything to the Redeemer, to the one that wants to redeem the blood of his brother, of his family. So, who does go to the Ori Miklat? There was someone who was careful. He was careful. So we can't say it was negligence. But at the same time, we cannot say that it was such an accident that it was totally unavoidable. Perhaps if he would have been more careful, he would have avoided it. He was careful, so it's not negligence. It's Yosef Mechlau Pshia. It's not negligence. But Bechlal Enes Lebo, but it's not an unavoidable accident either. Or Gemara gives examples that someone is doing work. Let's say if someone is doing construction in his plant or in his yard, And he puts up signs outside, danger, do not enter. Then if someone enters, he did everything he could. But let's say he didn't put up signs like that and someone entered. And he didn't think anyone was there. So the Gemara goes through great length to find out just who qualifies. We have, in civil law, lahavdil, you have a parallel to this. As mentioned many times, most civil law is built on Torah law. This Torah law was the first body of law that was given. What is that? That's what they consider culpable homicide. In American terms, it's called manslaughter. If something is totally accidental, we cannot accuse him of manslaughter. But if something is already where it could have been avoided, and certainly if it's negligent, so there it goes into the categories where it's considered a crime. Now, in Perichas, so these are the guidelines of the one who murders without intention. In Perichas, Haloch Aleph, there the Rambam brings the mitzvahs of Ori Miklot. States as follows, mitzvahs esse lahafrish Ori Miklot. It's a positive commandment that we should have set aside cities of refuge. As it states, Shleish Orim Tabdaloch, set aside three cities. And the Orim Miklat were only in Eretz Yisrael, or the Eber HaYarden, like we mentioned. There were six cities that Moshe Rabbeinu set aside, three that Moshe set aside, and three Yeshua set aside later on in Eretz Yisrael. And the three that Moshe set aside were not active. We're not activated yet until Yeshua later on entered the land and set aside those three. So the Gemara asks, so why did Moshe do it then? Moshe said, Lama Hivdilam, Ail Ba Mitzvah Liyodai Akayemen, Akayemeno, Liyodi. Since a mitzvah has come into my hands, let me be Makayimit. In the days of the Melech HaMashiach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will expand Eretz Yisrael. In the days of the Melech HaMashiach, Eretz Yisrael will expand even more. And we will be given all the cities of the Kinim, the Knizim, and the Kermonis from three other nations. And these three were promised also, in addition to the first seven, to Avram Avinu. And that's what it says in the Torah, Im Yarchiv Hashem Elokecha es Gvulecha, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will expand your boundaries. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu expands our boundaries, then we will make another three cities. And we will have a total of nine Ori Miklot, nine cities of refuge. But later on, the Rambam will bring that all of the cities of the Levim also act as cities of refuge. Beis Din is obligated. Now, this was a protection we mentioned. It was both a punishment and a protection for the one who killed without intent. Beis Din was obligated to protect this person because the members of the family of the victim were after him. So therefore, they were obligated to make all of the roads wide and good roads that lead to these cities and remove all obstacles and remove all mountains from that road, so it shouldn't have to go over a mountain. And if it crosses a river, they had to build bridges. And tochin l'cho haderech, and they would also have to go every 15th of Adar. The Beis Din would send shluchim l'sakin es hadrochim to go and prepare all of the roads, because many times they were damaged from the winter. Therefore, they would have to see all of this, see to it, and these cities would have to be equidistant from each other so he shouldn't have too far to run for refuge. And also, there had to be clear signs all of the way where were the Ori Miklot, the cities of refuge, in order that he would be able to get there. Then also, we had to prepare a very nice city for him. It was this was not a jail. So these cities had to be built very balabatish and very nicely. And they had to be in places where water was found. People lived there. It couldn't be solitary confinement and so forth. In addition, we mentioned, and that's in the Sefer Torah, just before this parsha, it speaks of the cities that were given to the Levim. Ori Levim Koltis, the cities of the Levim also gave refuge. And they had 42 cities. This was the mitzvah of the Ori Miklot. An interesting halacha is in Perek Zayin, halacha Aleph. It states, Talmid shegola li'ir miklot. If a Talmud, you had a Rebbe, and he had Talmidim, and one of his Talmidim had killed accidentally, and the Beis Din judged him, and they found out that he was guilty, he's a murderer, b'shegeg, and therefore he has to go to the Ori Miklot. Talmid shegola li'ir miklot, lo'or li'ir miklot, megalin rabbi imoy. His Rebbe had to go with him. So Rebbe had to move to the city of the Miklot. Why? Because it states, V'chai, let him go and live there. The Torah said that when we send him to this city, he has to live a good life there. Not exorbitant, but he has to live a decent life. V'chai bale chochma u'mevaksheho b'lei Talmud Torah k'misa chashuvin. The Rambam says, the Balei Chochma, those people that seek wisdom, and those people that seek the Torah, without Torah, their life is considered not a life. Therefore, a Talmud that sits by a Rebbe, and he ends up to be a murderer, b'shegeg, and he has to go to the Ori Miklot, the Rebbe has to go there also to continue teaching him. And the Rebbe, if that happened to a Rebbe, then his yeshiva has to go with him. The Gemara brings from here in Makas Daf Yud that Mikan Omar Reb Zeira Shlishan Orel Mutamid Sheino Hogun. A person has to be careful not to have a gangster who's a Talmud, or someone who's very, very reckless who's a Talmud, because he could end up having to go to the Ori Miklot. So you must be careful. In Perek Hay, Halacha Zayin. Now, we have the basis for these mitzvahs now. So the Rambam says as follows. B'tchila, echad shegig ve'echad mezid, magdimin le'ir miklat, u'bezdin shel eisei ir shoharag bo, sholchin ha'mevin eisei misham, anyone who kills, whether it was with intent or without intent, he should immediately run to the city of refuge for protection. Then the Beis Din would send shluchim, they would send their emissaries to the city to bring him to the Beis Din. And they would protect him all of the way. Then he would be judged. Mishinishkai Misa, if it would come out that the judgment was death, then he would get the death penalty. As it states, he's given over to the Gel Adam. Misha Nifter, if it was decided that he's not a murderer, an actual murderer, b'meisit, then they would pater him. And they would say that he gets off scot-free. In other words, he didn't murder at all. So he would get off scot-free. And if it came out that he's obligated in Golus to go into Golus to Dori Miklat, they would return him there, and when they would take him back, they would guard him. And two Talmidei Chachomim would go along in case the Gael Hadam, the one who wants to revenge the family's blood, tries to come and kill him on the way. The Talmidei Chachomim would say, Al tinagu bei minuk sheifchei domim b'sheigig b'maisel yodei. He is not a murderer with intent. He murdered without intent, and therefore you are not allowed to touch him. This was the Hanhoga. This was the way things worked. What was the Gael Hadam? We said, now we've discussed the one who murders with intent, the one who murders without intent, the Ori Miklot, the cities of refuge. We said there was a fourth subject here, and that's the Gael Hadam. Who was he? The Rambam brings, this is often the Gemaras, but the Rambam summarizes it. The Rambam brings in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph and Beis, Kol Herig Nefesh Ben Odom. Anyone who kills a person, all right, he transgresses the negative commandment of murder, then, if he killed with intent, mitzvah biyad geil adam la'aragei k'saratzeach. Shnema geil adam hu yomis esaratzeach. After the judgment that he is chay miso, he's accountable with the death penalty. The actual execution was given to the Gael Hadam. And that was a mitzvah for him to execute the death penalty. As it states in the Torah, Gael Hadam hu yomis esaratzeach. Who was the Gael Hadam? Kol haroi yilirusho. Whoever was of close kinship where he would inherit him, he is considered the Gael Hadam, the one to redeem his blood. Leirotza Gael Adam. What happens if he doesn't want the mitzvah? Or shelo yochel, or he's incapable of it. Or if there is no Gael Adam, there's no one in the family like that, then the Bezdin would execute him. So the Gael Adam was the closest of the kinship where the Torah considers it that since this person has to be put to death, the Torah can and the blood of the innocent is not going to be cleansed and not going to be quiet until the blood of the guilty one is spilled. The Torah held that it's a mitzvah for the closest relative to perform this task. If he didn't want to, if he couldn't, then the Bezdin would take care of it itself. The same is by someone who killed, not where it was a total accident, but where there was a degree of negligence, and certainly where there was a large degree of negligence. Then, also, there was a mitzvah for the Gael Hadam to revenge the blood. But, in the cases that it qualified, for the Ori Miklat, for the city of refuge, then he would go to the city of refuge, and this was his protection. As long as he would stay there, then the Gael Hadam was not allowed to touch him. And once the Kohen Gadol would die, then he would be free to leave, and the Gael Hadam would not be allowed to touch him. This is a summary of these halachas. The Ritzeach B'Meisi, the one who kills with intent. The Ritzeach B'Shegig, the one who kills without intent. The cities of refuge, Ori Miklot, and the Gael Hadam, the close relative who is redeeming the blood of the innocent, of his innocent brother. Now, in general, we learn from here, but we cannot go into it at length, but very shortly, when it comes to the one who killed Shegig erroneously, and still, there was a degree in which it could have been avoided, so the Torah holds him to a degree guilty. We learn from here what was known as a hirus, what was known as caution. And the Mesilas Yesharim goes on to great length in this right at the beginning of his Sefer. And he writes that a person was given seichel. And this seichel he has to use. And if a person doesn't use his seichel, doesn't. In other words, a person was given intelligence. And with intelligence, he has the ability to be reyes anelid, to see the potential. You get someone who gets into a car and he's speeding down the roads at 200 miles an hour, or he's drinking beer, like nothing is going to happen. There's one problem there. And that the Mesillas Yesharim says, he's pochos mi behema. He's worse than an animal. Why? Because an animal doesn't have seichel, intelligence. And still, with his instincts, he can guard himself from danger. This person was given intelligence. He's not using it. Doesn't use it. The road is full of them. The fact is, road fatalities is even greater than war fatalities, it's stated. And whatnot. And crime fatalities. We got plenty of taxis here. Now, but it doesn't only go with the taxis. He's worse than an animal. An animal will guard himself from anything that might be dangerous. But someone who walks through the world, a man that was given intelligence, and he doesn't use his intelligence to see that the derech that he's going on is safe or not safe, so then he's worse than the animal. He's like a blind person that is walking along the edge of a river. Now, this has to do with everything in Inyone Olam Hazeh and Inyone Shemaya. It has to do with the way a person walks in this world and the way the person wants to climb and elevate himself in the next world. He has to use his seichel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him intelligence, and this he must use. The intelligence with the or, einayim, the light in his eyes. In other words, the light which will guide his way. Since a person, if he uses his seichel in this world and for the next world, he can climb to great heights. Don't underestimate the intelligence. The intelligence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to a person is enormous. It's enormous. Look at what was created by man. You have electricity, electronics, robots that go to the outer space. Just yesterday, the day before, they announced they discovered a new planet where they could see thousands and thousands of miles into space. This was all creations of man with man's intelligence. It's enormous. And he can learn into the depths of the wisdom of the Torah. Now, since he can come to such great heights, so the Mesillas Yesharim says, the Yetzer Hara, whose duty it is to see that he does not climb to such heights. The fact is, the Gemara says on the Yetzer Hara that he constantly wants to destroy the person. He will constantly try to create a situation where man will not use his seichel. He will not use his intelligence. And that's why many times we say, well, we didn't think of it. He set the scene that we shouldn't think of it. And we don't think of it. In Yiddish, this is called a gate mit blinde Egen. He went with closed eyes. Well, anything can happen if you go with closed eyes. How will he make it that we don't use our seichel? One of his greatest methods, the Mesillas Yesharim and others write, is he will make us so busy with so many things to do that we won't have time to think. He will be machbir on us. He will bring on us imaginary priorities where no longer can we give thought to the real priorities. So he is blinding our eyes to what's important. And that's how a man gets lost in this world. Now, that's why the Navi would say, Simu levavchem al darchechem. Pay heed to where you're walking. Whether you're walking on this road, or you're walking on a spiritual road, you must pay heed to where you're going. And the Chazal said, Kol asom or cheso, ba'ilam azeh, zeich verei b'yishua sishel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person who pays heed to which way he walks in this world, he'll be zeicha to see the greatness of the next world. Now, you need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help though. Even if we do everything we can do, we still need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help to free ourselves from the Yetzer Hara. Therefore it states, Sefer Rosha Letzadik Umevakesh La'Misoi. The Rosha, that's the Yetzer Hara, he wants to try to kill the person. Hashem La'Yazvenu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not forsake the person, he will help him. But he concludes, and this is important, he says, when will HaKadosh, you know, in the world there's a saying, God helps those who help themselves. Well, that's not a world saying. That comes from the Torah. When will HaKadosh Baruch Hu help a person? That's when the person pays heed himself. When he uses his intelligence to the best of his abilities in this world and in the, for the next world, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help him. Then Hashem will help him. But if a person doesn't take care of himself in this world, he says, La, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help me, what do I have to worry? And he does everything contrary to human intelligence, contrary to seichel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to look after him. In other words, God helps those who help themselves. Ki im hu ein achas miyochus alob. If a person doesn't worry about his own life, so why should Hashem worry about him? A guy wants to jump off a mountain. He wants to hang from a rope off a cliff. Or he wants to go skydiving. And Kodesh Baruch Hu says, very good. He's on his own. He's on his own. Okay. On his own. The chance he'll survive. Yeah, Chazal say, whoever does not have das, whoever doesn't use his seichel, don't have rachmonis for him. You can have rachmonis that he didn't use his seichel, but don't have rachmonis for him. Hu de afseir anafshe. Don't have rachmonis for someone who doesn't have rachmonis for himself. Many times people say, well, I can't. No, that's not true. That's not true. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave, as long as the person is normal, we're not talking about someone who heaven forbid, is not a normal person. They need looking after, just like a minor needs looking after, a cotton. But a normal person, this that he wants to say, I can't do it, I can't take care of myself. He wants to shed responsibility and accountability. That's the nature, and that's what everybody says. He wants to shed his responsibility. He wants to shed his accountability. Therefore, I can't do it. The Torah says not like that. Okay? If you were negligent, and heaven forbid something bad came out of it, you're accountable. If you could have thought about it and you didn't, you're accountable. And if you don't want to, then if you will do what you can, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do the rest. But if you won't do what you can do, then that Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's also l'rachim all of it. It's called Mishin Beidas. He has no das, you're not allowed to have rachmonis on him. And behu ma she'omru imein anili mili. If I don't take care of myself, so who do I expect to take care of me? This is very, very important. The Rambam brings this klal many times. And he brings it in Hilchos Deos, Perek Hei, Halacha Yud Aleph. And there he's speaking not about mitzvahs. He's speaking about how to be masare in yonei eilam hazeh. When should a person build a house? When should a person spend his money? When should a person get married? When should a person plant his vineyard? So he says, derech balei deya. It's the derech, the way of the intelligent, balei deya. It's the way of the intelligent where they organize their lives. He's talking about physically, where they organize their physical lives with seichel. That's the derech of the balei deya. It's the derech of the tipshim, of the fools, that they live disorganized lives. Everything just lehepech. He goes into detail. And he says that you will not find brocha in this world if you do not organize your lives with seichel, with intelligence. And he brings, this is what is said by Dovid HaMelech, Vihi David lechol drochav maskil v'ashem imai. Now David was a monarch. He was a world monarch. He had to deal with mighty nations. He had to deal with foreign relations, with world ambassadors, kings, diplomats. He had to deal with foreign budgets, world trade, war, peace, treaties, you name it. How did he deal with it? It says he used his seichel, his intelligence, to his greatest ability. That's how he dealt with it. Then it states, Vashem imoy. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with him. And that's why he succeeded. If he would have sat back and merely watch what was going on in the world by watching the CNN or BBC, no, he wouldn't have succeeded. Person wants to succeed in this world, then he has to use the intelligence which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him for every part of the world. And then be mispallah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will. If he will not use his intelligence, and every day we're called on this, then Hashem will say, if you don't take care of yourself, you're not worried about yourself, why should I worry about you? Imein anili mili. And that's what it states. Vishen bedea, osel arachim olav. Therefore, this has to do with the zehiros. A person has to be on his toes to try to foresee what can come out from all of his actions. And this he's responsible for to the limit of his ability. These are the principles of the parsha of the Shfichas Domim, the spilling of innocent blood.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.